We're live.
We're live.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome to June 16th podcast, episode 81.
Episode 81. Yep. Here we are.
We have Steve back this week.
Welcome back.
Good to have you back.
Feels good to be back.
Yeah. Good.
How was your week?
My week has been great.
Yeah, because we have church camp.
That's right. We've got our kids' summer camp here at the Way. And so Monday night, Tuesday night, tonight.
Yeah.
We've had kids all in through the building,
the whole
space, and it's so much fun.
And I love, you know, I love to not only watch the kids walk in, but the volunteers.
Yes.
Everybody's smiling.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the volunteers are just rock stars.
They are.
Yep.
I mean, God bless you. If you're one of those volunteers, you know, I just, as I see you walk in, I'm just like, God bless that person for doing that. And,
there's
you know, a lot of them are coming in. It's the end of their work day.
Right. Mm-hmm. They've been at work all day.
They've been at work all day
and
they're coming in and they're serving the kids and, you know, just great to see.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yep. You seem like you're in your element up there.
I love it.
Doing the teaching for the kids.
I love it. Yeah.
You're having way too much fun.
It's a lot of fun.
You and Jen both. Jen's leading worship
she is
just having a blast. I mean, I'm controlling the lights for like 5 minutes.
You are helping with lights.
And how am I doing?
Great. Yeah, we've got like spotlights on the floor, like the color lights. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and this
see their glow sticks.
Yeah.
This has been on a hiatus too.
Yes, yeah. We didn't have it last summer.
It last summer. And
we're back, and it's amazing. It's fun.
It's great.
So if someone hasn't been yet, but they've registered and signed up, they can still come.
They can still come.
Right?
Yep, bring your kids tonight. Yep. Tonight is the last night of kids' summer camp for kids entering kindergarten through sixth grade. And then tomorrow is family night.
Okay.
So that's tomorrow night. We're encouraging families to come together. And then we have a focus on missions and we're going to be bring a canned food item for the Jasper County Food Pantry. And John and Kim Guthrie are going to talk a little bit about that. And then Pam Osborne and some people from Many Hands for Haiti are coming. And we're going to work on a project together as a family. They're going to work on a project to make a denim bag for families in Haiti. So when they go and distribute food, then they put some of that food in the denim bag. And then the family in Haiti can keep the denim bag.
Great.
And repurpose it for whatever they need. And so that's going to be our family project. So, and there is a free meal tomorrow night with that. So we're going to feed families when they come in and yeah.
So if I have old jeans that are denim, should I bring them?
You could, but actually the Many Hands for Haiti people are going to bring
they're going to provide
for
the denim.
Us.
Okay.
But you should bring scissors.
Scissors.
So you should bring two things, a food item for the Jasper County Food Pantry and scissors.
And scissors.
That will
if nothing
denim.
Else, you can leave with a brand new pair of jorts.
You should wear pants for sure.
That's such a, you know, my kids give me all kinds of grief because I don't have any anymore, but they make fun of my shorts. So for the longest time, it was jorts, which are jean shorts.
Right.
And then I still wear cargo shorts, which I guess are not cool to young people, but I've drawn a line in the sand.
Yep.
I need my cargo shorts because I carry stuff.
Right. They've got amazing
You don't want to
pockets.
Wear a fanny pack?
I'm not. No
I
fanny
pack. I put
you
pack, in another category.
Or no male carry-all.
Satchel.
European carry-all.
Merce. Do you still own a jean jacket?
I do not.
Did you?
But they're in style now.
They are. They're back in style.
All the ladies have a jean jacket.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny because we were talking about, you know, so obviously Vicky and I were 80s children and Vicky, I remember Vicky had a jean jacket, but it was stonewashed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember the stonewashed denim?
Yep. And the stonewashed jeans and
tight
rolling at the bottom.
I had some stonewashed jeans.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
A little flashback to the 80s.
That's right. Big hair. It was amazing.
The mullet. I rocked the mullet a little bit.
The mullet is back.
It is back.
It
wasn't a majorly pronounced mullet, but it was still by definition a mullet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the Joe Dirt mullet that, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah, those were the days, the 80s.
Yep. That's right.
Right on. Well, good. Well, preached on Sunday.
Yeah.
Talking about the heart of the Father, right?
Yeah.
The heart of the Father, and as it is revealed in Luke 15, which has always been, it's always a go-to text for me. So I go back to that text at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important for me personally as a pastor of a church to understand the heart of God as it pertains to the lost. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's easy to just kind of get in this mode where, you know, that's not as big a consideration as it should be. And the thing about Luke chapter 15 is it just paints this picture. It's the primary consideration. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's always very convicting for the people of God to see the heart of God. And then when you look at the contrast of the two brothers and you know, and I don't know that a lot of Christians maybe see themselves as the older brother. Yep. Mm-hmm. But there's a perfect example of a brother that's forgotten the heart of the father. And mm-hmm. so it's just good. It's good to go back there. It's a good recalibration. And so, yeah.
You know, you touched on, too, the idea that due to cognitive bias and due to our, you know, what we experience here on earth with our earthly fathers, that can give us a tainted view of who God the Father is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I believe, and I want to be careful how I say this, because I believe that men do have a leadership anointing. And I do believe that, you know, their words in their homes carry a great deal of weight. Mm-hmm. And when a man offers up poor words or he behaves poorly, which to some degree we all do because we're still sinners, we're still broken. But if that is your takeaway, if you are abused or you are neglected or you are, you know, verbally abused by a father, that has a lifetime of effect. But probably the one of the hardest things about it is it actually affects your image of God the Father. Mm-hmm. So
I would even argue that not only the actions, but even the absence of being a father, you know, and what statistics show about if there isn't a father in the home, you know, the child is more likely to be involved in criminal activity as they get older, abusive things, addiction rates are higher. So there's all these studies that show that not having a father figure in the home, a good father figure in the home, can be detrimental to the children growing up.
Yeah, and you could even go to, so this is so permeated in our culture that if you go to Roman Catholicism, the reason why they pray to Mary, really, if you study the theology, it's because they feel like God is unapproachable. And so because he's God, and so they pray to Mary because Jesus isn't going to reject anything from Mary because that's his mother. And so, but it just, what you see is it's just permeated in our psyche, in our culture, that fathers are the disciplinarians. They're the harsh ones. They're the, you know, they're the whatever it is, which then gets superimposed onto God the Father. And there's no doubt that God is holy and he is just. So there is that aspect of it. But he's also loving and kind and, you know, he's that good father that runs when he sees a child coming and embraces him with kisses. So,
No, that's good. That's what I think that, you know, you talked about how this is kind of the end of the sermon series on that battle in your mind. And I think this is just a great place to land because there's so many misperceptions about who God is as the loving father. And so we have to start to see the truth about who God is in that way and see the truth about what scripture says in that. And so, it was just a great message. And I would just add that if that makes people question a little bit more or want to dig deeper or bring some stuff up for people, that we are going to be offering a class. Mm-hmm. And so if people want to take that next step and they want to go a little deeper in, you know, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about identifying the lie and replacing it with truth and then making a declaration from that truth and speaking that over your life. And if people want to go to that next step, take that beyond Sunday mornings and have a group to work through some of those things with, that on Tuesday nights, we're going to be reading through the book, Winning the War in Your Mind. Mm-hmm. And that would be a great time and space to be able to dig a little deeper into some of those things. And so you can sign up online, but
it's been a great book to work through as a staff.
Yes. Yeah. It's we've been working through discussion. It as a staff and that has been good. So,
And I go back to, So, you know, the other thing is, too, is that, you know, and I want to be careful. I don't want this to sound judgmental, but the world needs good men. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It needs good people, yeah. right? But good men that humbly exhibit that, you know, father. Mm-hmm. And you know, they've got the toughness, they've got the justice, and they've got the, you know, the one side of things, but then they have to be caring, they have to mm-hmm. be loving. And you know, when a father shows affection to his children and he shows affection to his wife in front of his children, mm-hmm. That is extremely a positive mm-hmm. thing. You know, you hear people that are like, you know, my father never showed any affection. It's like, mm-hmm. well, you know what, dads, if you're out there, if you don't do that, make it a point to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it seems hokey and if your kids are like, ugh, you know what, I'm telling you, they'll remember it till the day they die.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a big deal. And so, you know, I mean, it's just a great picture. And it always brings me back to God in that. That was, you know, Jesus. So we were disconnected from God. We had lost the truth about who God was. Mm-hmm. And Jesus came. He was the full image. He was the visible image of the invisible God. And he was the fullness of God existed in Christ. And he showed us this aspect to God that we had mm-hmm. lost. Mm-hmm. This loving, caring, you know, searching father that, you know, cares for his children.
And yeah.
So... it's powerful stuff, and it's always good to go back over and remind ourselves.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Very powerfully.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. This was our Monday night lesson at kids' summer camp, too.
Yeah.
So that's
good.
Yeah.
Well played.
That was totally God. Only God could plan all of that, because that just happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we talked about that with the kids, too. So that's what I told him. I said, if you were here yesterday, then you maybe heard Pastor Steve preach this message. But I said, that just tells me that adults need to hear it. Your moms and dads need to hear it. Your grandpas and grandmas need to hear it. But this message is for kids too.
Yeah.
The
parable of the prodigal son is widely recognized as one of the greatest stories mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah.
And it is relevant to everybody at every age, at every stage of life. There's something in that story.
Yeah.
That just resonates with you, mm-hmm. and it brings you to this place of thoughtfulness,
right?
You know,
yep.
That's the power in it. It works for kids.
Yep, absolutely.
It works for any age group.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So
it's good.
Yeah,
good.
Anything else you want to add about the message?
No, you're the one who said you had what, 2.5 pages?
2.5 pages of notes, yeah.
Oh, maybe we should read the declaration. Jen was asking about the declaration. So you had a declaration at the end.
I did.
Aaron, did you get the declaration?
No, I knew you would get it. I was busy writing down other
So notes. This goes back to the whole thing, and this comes from Craig Groeschel, so you know, give him credit where credit is due. But it's this idea of as you tear down strongholds and you reframe
yep.
things in a positive light. It begins by identifying the negativity, the lie, mm-hmm. and then offsetting that with biblical truth, but then a declaration over that truth over yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
You want to read
it? So I'll read it.
Yeah.
Yes. So the declaration that you gave on Sunday was this idea that in Christ, you are accepted, you are chosen, you are loved, you are God's creation, you are precious, you are forgiven, you are redeemed. You are never left or forsaken. You have an eternal inheritance, and nothing can separate you from God's love.
Right. Not even you.
Not even you. Yep. Or anything yep. you've done. Nothing
right.
can
no
separate
power above
God's
or power
love.
Below.
Yep.
On earth or in heaven can separate you us from the love of God.
Yep.
And that is a big deal.
It is a big mm-hmm. deal. Yeah.
So, yeah. No,
so read that to yourself every day. Put it on your mirror. Read it to yourself. Declare it over your life. Put it somewhere where you can read it over your kids. Declare it over your kids.
And I think a big indicator of your image of God, if you find yourself in a place where you think you're trying to earn something from God, mm-hmm. then I think that right there is an indicator that you have to reform your image,
right.
reframe your image, because you work out of all of these things.
Right.
You don't work for these things.
Right.
And that's the difference. Now we still walk in obedience. We still serve the Lord.
Right.
We were raised to a life in Christ, and we no longer live for ourselves. But we're not trying to achieve this in God's eyes. It's already given.
Right.
Now we have to just live in that freedom, but serve the Father out of love.
Absolutely.
Mm. And that's the big thing to remember. So
yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Very good. Theology.
Yes.
Theology topic for today.
The Lord's Supper. We did baptism last week.
We did.
Which was perfect timing.
It was right so after well celebration again. Sunday. I know. Yay, God. That's right. Even I did not plan that well.
Oftentimes so referred to as the Eucharist or Communion.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
We refer to it as Communion. Mm-hmm. But so where do we? Where do we begin? You want to start from our description of it in?
I sure can. From our membership book. Yes. So I grabbed our membership book for today. And so in our membership class, we talk about baptism and we talk about communion because those are the two sacraments that we celebrate. So I will just read here what we have written in our membership book. But we have the Lord's Supper is the sacrament which uniquely depicts continuing fellowship with Christ, a repeated act in which we as believers remember the Lord's death and renew our commitment to be united with Christ and His church. In eating and drinking the elements, the believer is nourished and strengthened to grow in grace. Yeah. So as we talk about, last week we talked about baptism, and baptism is that one time, I don't know, thing that we celebrate, event, I guess. Yep. Yeah, event that we celebrate as a believer where we... Mm-hmm. We talk about we're lowered into the water and then raised up, but communion is that ongoing sacrament that we celebrate too.
Yep. Yeah. Remember. And as far as frequency goes, churches have different views on frequency.
Yes.
So we do it corporately the first Sunday of every month, unless there's a special event going, and then it'll be shortly thereafter. But
yep.
We either do it the first Sunday, so we do it corporately, so 12 times a year.
Right, where you read the words
yeah.
of institution.
Where we do the words of institution yes. and the invitation. And then we kind of do it more informally with the elders. So we just went back to weekly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we were just for the interest of, because we were doing a lot of mitigation things and, mm-hmm. and it was just, you know, we were doing it once a month over the last 15 months, although we didn't do it for a couple months, but
right.
But now I think we've gone back.
Cups to
yeah, we still have those available if people feel yeah. better about that, because our method is called intinction, which mm-hmm. is that what we prefer, and that this is maybe a new experience for people, but that's typically where you take the bread and you dip it in the juice and then you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes people are served the bread and the cup and then they all take it together and then they all drink together. We don't do it that way. And one of the reasons why, so intinction is an ancient method.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always been more of a missional church. We have a lot of visitors and we just kind of, I always felt like it was a great invitational thing for
right.
people to come forward.
Yes.
So it builds anticipation.
Let's talk about that. Who can take the Lord's Supper at our church? Because I've been to churches where if you're not a member of that body or you're not a part of that church, whether you believe in Jesus, doesn't matter.
Right.
If you surrender your life to Christ, doesn't matter. If you're not a part of that church, you can't take communion.
Yeah. So that's not our philosophy is that we go to the church, the large mm-hmm. C church, a member of believers. All believers are welcome to take communion at our table. Some people say, well, what about kids? But mm-hmm. that extends to our theology. So we leave that up to the parents.
Yeah.
You know, part of the reason why we baptize children is because we're basically saying to the parent, we're going to raise your child like a believer because they live in the house of a believer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we don't baptize infants of non-believers. We mm-hmm. baptize infants of believers. So this child's going to be raised in the house of God, both at home and at church.
Right.
And so we're going to treat them like Christians. But in that, we're going to empower the parents to make that
right.
decision.
Mm-hmm.
Some churches believe because the Apostle Paul talks about do not take it in an unworthy manner or you will be taking judgment upon mm-hmm. yourself. So they've interpreted that to say that only confessing baptized believers.
Right.
And the only way they can verify that is if they're a member of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they take that line. So they call it fencing the table. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, in some ways, some people view it as keeping people away from an error, which would bring on judgment. other churches kind of look at it like policing the communion table and almost. We'll go back to the Luke 15 text. I just see a heart of God that isn't going to be offended if a non-believer sneaks in.
Or a child.
Or a child.
You know, the measuring stick for me is like if Jesus was standing right there next to the communion and we say, no, you are too young to take, right. Would Jesus be like, right. Yes, he should not take me? Or he'd be like, no, right. Let them come to me. Right. Right. Let them participate.
And that's why there's always an invitation.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why I believe, you know, so it's different if you serve people. Mm-hmm. But if people come forward, I believe there's something going on that they want to.
Right.
You know, and so it's purely voluntary. You know, maybe in corporate communion, there could be pressure for people to come forward. But I always make it very clear.
Right.
If you don't want to participate in this communion, feel free to let people slide past you. And, you know, with no explanation.
Yep.
And it's okay. So you're right. I just see the heart of Jesus because that's what communion is. Mm-hmm. By the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are in fellowship with the resurrected Christ.
Right.
And so Jesus may not be physically there, but he's spiritually there. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it. And so.
Yeah.
So let me ask this question. When I go up for communion and I'm served the bread and the juice, what should be going through my mind and my heart at that time that I'm taking communion?
Well, I think confession of sin, you know, so as you come down, you know, or during, you know, like if you're convicted of something in the message, you confess that sin, you ask forgiveness. And then I always say in the invitation, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you hunger and thirst for his kingdom and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. So maybe be dwelling on, what are you hungering for? Why are you coming forward?
Right.
Because if it's something other than Christ,
right.
then you're probably, your heart's not in the right place. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I always feel like, you know, it's just a way of getting closer to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then you're doing it. So like, for example, Vicky and I, we always do communion together. So like we dip in the cup together and we eat together and there's something special about that as husband and wife. But then, you know, as a congregation, you know, when we're all doing this together,
right?
You know, it's not quite a family meal, but it is kind of like a family meal, and that's part of the theology as well. There was always something about worship and feasting together.
Yeah,
right.
And then we see that in the Book of Acts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, the community of disciples, the community of believers, sharing in the Lord's Supper together in each other's homes.
Yeah.
Yep. So, good little preview for this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
That's right.
That's good. No, yeah. Another thing that I would just add is that even in how we have practiced communion here at The Way over years is we used to just do it on the first Sunday of the month, but that we found that people were wanting that response time in other Sundays. And so that's why, too, that first Sunday of the month, you know, you read those words of scripture and give that invitation, but that other Sundays, it's just available that people can just come and that respond in that way if that's how they're being led. And so
I felt like this Sunday people were ready.
Yes. You know,
they've been wanting it. And
I would add, absolutely. And I would add just on a theological level, because this is the theological discussion.
It is.
Is that there's really kind of three primary beliefs in Christianity about what's happening during communion. And one is that the elements, so they call it transubstantiation, where the elements are actually transformed into the physical body and blood of Christ. So as people look at it from afar, when you see, so oftentimes you'll see a priest, so the Roman Catholicism, they believe in transubstantiation, and you'll see the priest handling the elements and then you can't, you know, so if you've ever been to a mass and you see the priest at the end of the mass consuming the rest of the wine, that's why they do that, because they can't throw it out because they believe it's been transformed in the body and blood of Christ.
Right.
Kind of then kind of the next step, like the Lutheran model, is they believe that it's almost like the elements contain, they're not, the physical elements are not the body and blood of Christ, but the elements contain the physical body and blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. So like as you consume it, the example that Wayne Grudem uses is like how a sponge contains water. Mm-hmm. So like the bread contains the body of Christ. And so that's what they believe. What we believe is that it's a spiritual communion, mm-hmm. and that they represent the body and the blood of Christ, but in a very unique way in that moment.
Right.
With relation to the Holy Spirit. So the communion is spiritual, not physical, but mm-hmm. yet it's so intensely spiritual that it has a physical element to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably the best way to explain the theology of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's why if you aren't a believer and you're not indwelt with the Holy Spirit and you go in and you take communion, you're just eating bread and drinking juice.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons why we're just kind of like an open invitation. You know, right. If you believe in Jesus Christ, come forward. And if you do and you don't, then you're probably not going to get a whole lot from it other than being around other people mm-hmm. and the spiritual presence of Christ that's just present in the event.
Right.
And we don't believe it's a salvational work that we have to do in order to be saved, but it's something that we're compelled to do.
Mm-hmm. It's a means of grace, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, which is a special impartation of God upon his people mm-hmm. through the church.
Right.
And there's something deeply special about it that you cannot achieve outside the church on your own, you know, eating bread and drinking juice.
Right.
There's something unique about it. So
yeah, that's what, so from our membership book too, we have the idea that there are several things symbolized and illustrated in the death of Christ, spiritual nourishment, the unity of believers, and the hope of Christ's return. Yeah. I think that's just a good way too to summarize what is symbolized and represented in communion. And it's that, you know, that unity with Christ, but unity with believers, the spiritual nourishment and hoping in.
Yeah, and you Christ's know, return, and you got so. People out there that haven't done this for over a year.
Right.
And that's too bad.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the many reasons why I would argue that you can be a believer and not go to church, but I will argue that your faith is not, your faith suffers. Mm-hmm. And the reason why your faith suffers is because of all these things that are done to help nourish you spiritually, right. that you're just not, you know, it's like if you eat the wrong stuff, you're just not going to get that strong. Mm-hmm. You want to lift, you want to get strong, you got to eat protein, right? You got to do it.
Yep.
There's no way you can do it. You're not going to get there just eating salad, right? It's just the way that it is, right?
Rabbit food.
Is your post-workout meal a salad?
It's a protein bar.
Yeah. You know, I mean, so unless you put meat in your salad or something, but it's just the way that it is. And so you have to look at this and ask yourself a very serious question. If I am not liking where I'm at faith-wise, I still believe, but my faith is dwindling. The question is how are you utilizing the things that God has given you mm-hmm. to nourish your faith
right.
and to strengthen your faith? And so,
yep.
So here's a question. Let's say a spa group or a group of believers want to get together and they feel compelled to participate in the Lord's Supper together. What would you tell them?
I would tell them, go for it. I would say that, you know, obviously, so it's 2 Corinthians 11 where Paul has the words of institution in there, and you could follow that and you could do that. You know, I believe in the priesthood of believers. Mm-hmm. I think that within the church, it's administered by elders. Mm-hmm. But I think that's only because that's kind of the way God has kind of laid it out for order in the gathering of believers. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you have an elder in your spa group, it's a no-brainer. But if you don't, you still have a leader. And I do believe in, like I said, the priesthood of all believers. So mm-hmm. I believe that God can enter into that. And
we do allow spouses of elders to assist in the
absolutely
the communion process. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because husbands and wives are one. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got a spouse that's an elder, or if you've got a person who's an elder, then by definition, your spouse is a part of that.
Right.
So.
Very good.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
I think we covered it.
I think we did.
It's good. Very good.
What do we got now?
Yeah. How about announcements?
Yeah. How about them?
Yay.
And by the way, before we begin, because I know one of the announcements will be asked the pastor, Yes. I've been reading the questions, and all I can say is good job, church.
Good job.
Good job. But there's room for more, but good job.
So the question is, should we rename Ask the Pastor to Stump Steve?
And that, you know what? That's okay if you do that.
It is. That's good. It's going to be good. So, yeah. So on with our announcements. We talked at the beginning of the podcast about our summer camp happening this week. I cannot look at you during announcements. I am just not. I'm looking at Steve. I am not looking at you.
Okay. What are you doing? What are you doing to make her laugh? Because I'll start doing it.
No, you're not. I'm going to look right here at you into
Terry
the
Crews.
Camera.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so summer camp is this week. Tonight is our last night of kids for kids entering kindergarten through sixth grade. Tomorrow night, Thursday, is our family night. And so we talked about that earlier, too. We have a focus on missions. We would love for you to register online. We're going to have a free meal, and you can bring in a food item for the Jasper County Food Pantry, and also bring scissors because you will need them for the family project. And so bring those with you.
We're making all the dads jorts.
Yep. Wear your jeans and cut them off at the thigh.
The only thing that's better than a jort are cut off jean shorts. When did the cutoffs come back? Are they back? Well,
girls.
Yeah, guys are, they don't really work for guys.
I just think about my wife throws away all my nice jeans that have holes in the knees. We could just be making shorts.
I've heard that you go dig those out of the trash.
I do.
Yes.
I'm cheap.
She tries to throw them away, but suddenly they reappear. That's what I have heard.
Well, they got people out there spending $100 for a pair of jeans that have holes in them.
That's
true. Right.
Why throw out the ones that earned it the right way?
Because they're holes in the right places, not in the knees.
Who determines
anyway.
The right place?
Anyhow.
Ask the Pastor. So we talked about that. I'm not sure if our registration is online right now.
It expired on the 13th.
So hopefully you got your questions in. If not, you could probably email me or call Kathy.
Post in the comments.
Post in the comments. Yes, you could probably do that, and we will get your questions submitted.
I will tell you that.
We do have great questions.
I've read through the questions, and so far nobody has stumped Steve.
Well, we're also not surprised about that. So
there were a few that I was like,
ooh, this is a good question.
I might have to do some research on this one.
Yeah, there's some good questions. So, and people have submitted them of all ages. We have some young people who have submitted them and some older people. And
that's
so
awesome.
That is. It's great.
Fantastic.
I love it. So Kingdom Builders Men's Ministry, this Friday night, they are having a card night at Wood Styles Shop. The address is 1714 North 4th Avenue East, Suite A. And so all guys are invited to that. It starts at 6:30. And we hear that there are some reigning champions that you are going to have to come and beat.
What was the game?
Beat
What's
the reigning
the game?
Champion.
4 point?
4 point pitch.
4 point pitch.
I just win.
All I do is win, no matter what.
That Jen beat you on Monday.
Listen.
And you threw an elbow last night. I'm telling ya.
Jen is one of my
Monday
favorite
night was,
people. I didn't
Monday
want
night
her
was
to be
rock,
upset
paper,
with me.
Scissors at summer camp, and Aaron beat Trisha, and then Jen beat me, and so we had the final championship round, but Jen beat you.
Well, I won the first round, and I was like, I feel so bad. So then I
So if you're doing 4 point, is it 8 man, 6 man, 4 man? How many players at the table?
Well, we were doing partners, and I think we had 8 man. So there's like four groups of partners. So
there you go.
Four groups, or did you have? Okay, that's good.
So. If you're competitive, it's the place to be.
So, and then I won at thumb wrestling against Trisha yesterday.
You totally threw an elbow. He went like this.
She cheats, so.
He totally threw an elbow. There's no elbow throwing in thumb wrestling.
Who made you the
I'm telling you, your elbow was all the way up here. You get way better leverage that way. Well, so, anyway.
Gotta overcome the cheater.
Technically won, but he did throw an elbow last night.
I didn't see you stepping up to a thumb
wrestle me. So for card night, you know, you better watch to make sure that there is no cheating involved.
No problem.
Watch that bottom card on the deck. Make
right.
sure.
I'm going to wear my spring
sure you know
I'm going to be in long sleeves, a spring-loaded card
Suddenly,
in my
the
sleeve.
Right card oh, is just my, right there.
My heart aches.
Yep. Or my diamond earring that I'm going to rub.
It's going to be great. Watch. Watch out. So, yes. So that is Friday night.
And I think they wanted registration, right?
So oh, yeah, that's right. There is registration online so that they can have an idea for about how many people are coming. So
but if you don't, you can still come.
Go online and register. Otherwise, just come. So invite a friend. It's going to be a fun night. Bring a snack to share. Bring a snack to share.
When you play 4-point, does the low save itself or no?
Yep. Right. High-low jack game.
No, I know. I played a lot of pitch in my day.
Yep.
I should jump in the arena.
You should.
Well, you're not going to be around.
You should.
I'm not going to be around.
Nope. Well, maybe next time. They're going to do it again. So
you want to talk about that at all?
Maybe next time.
Just son's getting married.
Yeah. That's exciting.
The two will be down after this. So must be the second one. And that just leaves Jake after this. But yeah, no, it's, you know.
I ran into Jake on Sunday. I said, well, you're next. And he said, yeah, I got to find that right girl first.
Yeah.
A few steps in between there.
You find the right girl, it'll be the
greatest. At this time, like 2 years ago, Logan was in the exact same spot.
Yep.
So, and then he met the right girl, and then, you know, now they're getting married. So
that's right.
Praise God.
It's awesome. It's great. She's fantastic. I love her dearly. So
good deal.
He chose wisely.
That's good.
Which really, you know, if you get down to it, is like the biggest hurdle, right? Just making a good choice.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
She's great. Good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're excited for him. So that's good. So other announcements, men's breakfast is back. So June 26th, the men's breakfast is going to be at 7:00 in the cafe. There is a congregational meeting on June 27 after the 11:00 service. We'll be voting for consistory, and we have some denominational updates that we would like to share with our members as well. And so June 27 after the 11:00 service, you can mark your calendars now. So women's ministry is starting a new Bible study called Matchless, and they are doing that on Wednesday nights. So usually women's ministry is on Thursday nights. For this summer, they're going to run that on Wednesday nights starting June 30 from 6 to 8 p.m., and you can register online for that. And we're going to be starting the Winning the War in Your Mind book study, which we talked about a little bit ago as well. So we've been going through that book by Craig Rochelle as a staff. And so we're going to open that up. And so if you want to take everything we've been hearing from the current sermon series and want to take that to the next step and just have a time and a space to dig into that a little bit deeper, we're going to be doing that on Tuesday nights. And that starts on June 29 and goes through July 27 and is from 6 to 8 in the Discipleship Center. So you can also register online for that as well. So
we have a couple of teachers of that class there that are dusting off the dust. They're going to be shaking off the dust and getting back into the teaching.
Back into it.
It's been a while.
It's good.
It's been fun. Yeah.
It's good. So that's all my announcements.
Wow. Roger that, Marcy. Well, good.
I'm going to look at Kathy and Jen, who are sitting in the back.
There's people watching right now. They're like, what are they talking about?
We have all kinds of inside jokes
I'm
around.
I'm telling you, you people.
My goal is to make Marcy laugh every night.
Go to newtonway.org. Go to newtonway.org.
There's lots of other stuff going on.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Check out the website.
The pool party. I missed the pool party. The pool party is on Friday, July 16 from 7 to 9:00, I believe. I did that off the top of my head.
Wow.
We also have a new Instagram account.
Look at all the things I've
missed. I don't do Instagram, but for those that do, they can probably tell you how to get to it.
Yes. And Little Sparks.
Little Sparks, how could I forget?
Marcy Milburn.
So you are not the one reminding me today, though.
That's because I have Jen here.
This is a very exciting announcement. Aaron is actually very excited about this. So we are going to start Little Sparks again this summer, and Jen is getting the dates. She's putting them on the board
July
for me
18th,
right now.
25th,
no, 11. You
August,
forgot 11. July 11, 11 18, 25th, and August 1st. 1.
At 9 a.m.
At the 9 a.m. service, it is for kids who are 3, 4, and entering kindergarten. So kids who have not gone to school yet, they're a little too old for nursery. Nursery is like age 2 and under. But so they're a little too old for nursery, so that preschool to entering kindergarten age. We've got 4 Sundays coming up this summer that we're going to have a fun little time with them.
And why do we need little sparks? Well, because when your 4-year-old sits in the service and he's like, Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. So then you leave and then 5 minutes later, he's got to go to the bathroom. Well, then he needs a drink of water. Well, then he
but
wants
he
to show you the coloring
Pastor
book.
That he's been Steve class,
yes. So
right?
Pastor Steve on Sunday does one of these and Gideon looks at us. She's like, we can clap in church? And starts clapping and
so cute.
You always remember that, you know, so always remember Matt Hugh, our old worship leader, used to talk about get out of your seat and run around the work, you know, and parents would be like, No.
We were
just be like,
wow.
But
he said I could.
Yep.
That's right.
Oh, that was great.
Yep.
That was great, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be
great. Looking forward to it.
We are.
And Little Sparks, you know, Little Sparks kind of nostalgic back to the old Ignite service.
I know, yeah.
The Little Sparks. And
bringing it
so
back.
So now we just, we call it Little Sparks because we get them all fired up and then we send
that's
them
right.
home.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. It's great.
We don't give them caffeine though, so
nope.
Don't worry about that.
Just get him full of sugar.
We'll give him a full can of Mountain Dew. But the rest of the kids, we won't give them a full can of Mountain Dew.
especially if Aaron's preaching that day, so he can't take a nap.
That's right. No naps.
Yeah.
That's great. We'll probably give them Cheerios.
That works.
Cheerios
works. Yes.
Well, good. So, well, that brings another podcast to a close.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
God bless you. Hope to see you on Sunday.
And
have a good rest of your week. Blessings. Bye.